Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. We wish for you all a happy and prosperous new year. Today's lesson comes from both the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 verses 18 through 20 and verse 26 and Luke chapter 2 verses 41 through 52. These are two stories about young boys in church without their parents. You just never know what kids might say in church. That's what a fellow pastor told me one day as he related a particularly embarrassing thing that happened to him during a children's message at his church. That's why it's always somewhat of a risk for any person to do a children's message and interact with the kids during worship, because what they say or do is not always predictable. How children behave in church has always been an issue. Some parents keep their kids under control and on a tight leash. They are required to sit still and be still and be respectful of other people, acknowledging the sacred space that they are in. In other cases, parents are much less strict or involved and don't seem to understand or care how disruptive a child speaking loudly during the worship service or running up and down the aisles can be. For this reason, many churches have developed their own policies and practices when it comes to what parents are to do with young children during the worship service. And this can be anything from staying seated with their families to sending them off to their own space so they won't be disruptive during the worship service. For centuries, kids have been made to sit still in a pew with their parents and be quiet. In the little church I grew up in, it was no different. I can remember getting a thump on the head more than once when my brother and I got too noisy. One morning during a worship service, a young mother took her 5-year-old back to the cry room when she started talking out loud about the book she was coloring in. Her mother then began to carefully explain that they were in church, and it was a place where people needed to be quiet and respectful of all the other people who were there in attendance. Then she asked, "Honey, now do you understand why we need to be quiet in church?" As the little girl looked around the room, she nodded her head and said, "Uh-huh, because there are people sleeping." Sometimes congregations are simply used as a free babysitting service. There are many stories out there of parents who simply drop off their kids for Sunday school and church for the morning so they can, as one mother once told me, get rid of them for a few hours. I have heard more than one story from pastors and congregations who have struggled to keep a 3-year-old from making loud noises or running up and down the aisle during worship services because a parent had simply dropped them off and then left them at the church. At most any church, regardless of denomination, there is a certain level of conduct that is expected from everyone attending, whether they are age 6 or 60. And it always boils down to one very simple concept, being respectful of other people. Our lesson for today from the book of Samuel talks about a young child in church, or rather, what would be the Old Testament equivalent of a church, the Jewish tabernacle. Hannah was fulfilling her promise to God by dropping off Samuel to Eli, the high priest. If we look back at the story, we read that Hannah was childless, and so she prayed earnestly to God that he would give her a child, and if God would do so, she would give him over to the Lord's service. Well, God did grant her petition, and so in the course of time, when Samuel was weaned and potty trained, Hannah dropped him off at the tabernacle to be placed under Eli's care and in the service of the Lord. While we do not know exactly how old Samuel was, the way the story reads, he was obviously just a small child. The author tells us that Hannah came to the tabernacle at Shiloh and visited him once a year and dropped off a little robe that she had made for him. However old he was at the time, the story suggests that he was a well-behaved child. The text seems to support this fact by telling us that the quality of his service to the Lord in Shiloh caused him to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. This Sunday, the lectionary also draws on the Gospel of Luke, where we are told of another young boy in church. Although he was obviously older, this is the story of Jesus at age 12, who stays behind at the temple when his parents and their friends all leave to go home after the annual trip to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. One takeaway for us from this story of Samuel is that God purposely setting someone aside for service did not begin with Jesus. We see that God had used this pattern before. Both of these young men were dedicated by their mothers to the service of God. The story of Jesus' time in the temple concludes in much the same way as the one we read from the book of Samuel, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Comparing the two stories, it is easy to see the similarities that exist. From a very young age, while serving in the tabernacle, Samuel learns to distinguish the voice of God from other voices around him, and that God has a special purpose for his life. In the temple, without his parents, Jesus learned that his life is more important than merely being the firstborn son of a carpenter. In both of these situations, these young men being in church without their parents seems to have given them the chance to be even more focused on spiritual things. Now, we should mention that Jesus' time spent in the temple did not make him less respectful of his parents, because we read in verse 51 that he returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. Here we see that Jesus is careful to keep the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. In both cases, the Bible tells us that these two young men increased in wisdom and in favor with the Lord. As we stand on the brink of a brand new year, many of us will be evaluating the year gone by. We will reflect back on what went well and what did not as we begin to think about the year to come. The start of a brand new year is always an appropriate time for a little self-evaluation. What have we done well? Where do we need to make changes in our lives and how we are living? What do we need to do so that we might grow in our spirituality and learn more about our faith? As we think about these things, a good place to look to as an example is the group of men that Jesus chose to be his entourage. Before they met Jesus, they were just regular guys that were part of the Jewish greater population. Being faithful for them consisted of keeping the commandments and attending the synagogue on the Sabbath. But when Jesus called them into his service, he accepted them, just as they were. He did not question them about their beliefs or their lifestyles, but each one in turn acted in faith when they encountered Jesus and responded to his call to follow me. Jesus' disciples have a lot to learn, and the gospel accounts are filled with examples of their immature behavior and their failures. Most of them completely misunderstood, for starters, what Jesus' mission was all about and why he came to begin with. Many times they would listen to one of Jesus' parables and were clueless as to what it meant and what he was trying to teach to the crowds that were gathered there to hear him. Often they would pull him aside after he told a parable and would ask him to explain what he was trying to teach because they simply did not get it. They didn't understand the point of his story. Once, two of them fought about who would be the most important when they got to heaven. At other times, they were unable to heal people because of their lack of faith, and Jesus had to step in and do it for them. Then one of his trusted followers betrayed him to the Sanhedrin to be arrested and put to death. And then his strongest advocate, Simon Peter, who had made the claim that he would willingly lay down his life for Jesus, denied that he even knew him on three different occasions. Yet, in spite of their spiritual immaturity and their other shortcomings, Jesus used this group of men in powerful ways. Jesus sent them out two by two to heal and to preach his message of love and acceptance. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the disciples were about to take a giant leap in their faith development. According to the book of Acts, this occurred on the day of Pentecost, when they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. After this event, at least as far as we know, there was no repeat of their old immature behaviors. On that day, they took a giant leap forward in their faith development and in their engagement with the world. Now, for most of us, our faith development happens much more slowly. But we should all give some thought to how this may be happening for us personally. Are we learning new things? Can we look back and see that we have been making progress? Are we further down the road of sanctification now than we were a month ago or a year ago? Or have we become static, even stagnant, making no progress at all in our faith development? Are we like the disciples before meeting Jesus? Do we think that being a Christian means only trying to keep some moral rules and going to church once in a while when we feel like it? Can we remember a time, perhaps, when we were young, when we were a bit more enthusiastic about our faith? Are we still at the same stage of development as we were when we were a teenager? Can God use us where we are today? Yes, he can. But what blessings are we missing out on simply because we have not matured in our faith enough for God to use us in more powerful ways? Have we matured enough in our faith that we can have confidence in God despite the ups and downs of our lives? Do we have enough confidence in our faith to let some of our questions go unanswered without destroying our spiritual peace? Have we matured enough in our faith journey that we are growing in our faith beyond a simple childlike faith toward an adult-like faith that is more than adequate to survive the bumps, potholes, and other challenges on the road of life? The two boys we read about in our scripture lessons today were on a faith journey. They were focused and attentive to God's voice and his will for their lives. They were excited at how God might use them and were working hard to learn all they could about their faith so that God could use them in powerful ways to accomplish great things. These two boys in church, without their parents, were on that kind of a faith journey. So I believe the question for us today that we need to ask ourselves is, are we? And if we are not, as we begin a brand new year, what needs to change so that we may be salt and light? Amen.